Well, good morning and welcome to Ashworth Road. I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth Road Baptist Church, and today we are going to be continuing our series on prayer that we've been calling Dialogue, Recovering the Lost Art of Communicating with God. And I'm hoping that today this message is going to be a huge encouragement to all of you about your prayer life and also a challenge for you to pray like maybe you've never prayed before. Last week, Pastor Brent kicked off this new series by answering the question, does prayer actually change anything? Because if prayer doesn't really make a difference in our lives, then it really is kind of silly for us to spend this week and five more weeks on a topic that doesn't actually affect us. God's going to do what God's going to do, so why bother? Fortunately, at the end of his sermon, the very clear answer was yes. Our prayer does change things. Our prayer lives actually bring heaven to earth when we pray for the things that God wants to be doing in this earth. And so one of the things that we did, and we've got cards in your bulletins I want to point out. He promised we were going to have these in the bulletin, and now we do. You've seen them. You all have a bulletin in your hands. Because we believe that prayer does change things, we gave you prayer journals. We said we want you to be praying over these next 6 weeks. We would love it if you've had any experiences this week that you've been praying about and you've seen God answer your prayer, or you've seen God change your own heart in a situation because of your prayer. We would love it if you'd take a moment during this message. It's okay. I won't mind if you put your head down and write. Fill this card out, and after the service, you can drop it by the sound booth on the wall there. You can pass it to me or Pastor Brent on your way out. We want to collect stories of our own people seeing how prayer is making a difference in their lives and in the lives of the people that they're praying for. So I strongly encourage you to do that today. But now that we have the question that answered that prayer does change something, it does make a difference, the next question we have to answer is, but what should I pray for? It seems like it should be really simple for us to pray and to know what to pray for. When we were children, it was very easy. We were told, just pray for whatever you want to pray, say it however you want to say it, and God wants to answer your prayers. But now that we have a few more years under our belts, we have a few more experiences, we've lived in the gray of life a little bit more. Some of you, probably just like me, realize there are times where it's not so cut and dry what we're actually supposed to ask God for. For instance, maybe you've been in a situation like me before where you knew somebody who is close to you, maybe a sibling or a good friend, who is getting a divorce. They'd already separated by the time you found out. The thing was going downhill really fast, and it was headed to court. And you sat there and you wondered, well, how am I supposed to pray about this? Do I pray, God, do the miraculous and restore the relationship and bring them back together? Or do I simply pray for my friend and say, God, this looks terrible. Just give them the strength to get through this separation and this divorce and help them on the other side to find true love? Or do you say, you know, I honestly have no idea what to do in this situation, so I'm just going to pray, God, I'm clueless. Your will be done. Do whatever you're going to do, God. And I imagine this isn't a situation that, you know, is unfamiliar to many of us. We get it. There are situations where we're not sure what to pray. We don't know what God wants to do. Or maybe you've asked God for something trivial before, and then you wondered if it was something you really should have been asking God about. Maybe you asked God, God, help my favorite team, the Green Bay Packers, to win. Right? That's the prayer. Or maybe it was, help me to find my keys. I can't find them anywhere, God. I need your help. Or maybe it was, help tomorrow's weather to be sunny. I've been planning this huge party. I've ordered all the food and rented the pavilion, and graduation's coming. God, I need sunshine. Or push the rain off to 5 o'clock. Right? We've all prayed that, but then maybe we have that feeling, should I really be praying for that, or is this a selfish prayer? Am I allowed to pray this? What I find fascinating is how simple prayer was for me as a kid. And how, as I've read the Bible more, I've grown in my faith, I've spent more time with people from various denominational backgrounds, I've become more and more confused about prayer. And I imagine I'm not alone. So today, I'm excited to work through this topic for myself. I got to go through a bunch of scripture and go, okay, now I'm clear. And I'm hoping as I teach this to you, you're able to gain something out of this. As we answer the question, can I ask God for that? Can I ask him for that? I think that we've complicated this issue, and we've actually made it an issue for a lot of us for several various reasons. The first is, we know from experience that we don't always have our prayer answered the way that we ask. And so that leaves us with a little confusion, like, God, you tell us to ask anything in your name, and you'll answer it, but we've prayed things, and you haven't answered it, and we haven't seen it. So what do I do with that? Am I doing this wrong? Did I ask for the wrong prayer? Am I not supposed to ask that way? We get confused. A second reason that maybe we've complicated this is we've had some familiarity. We've gotten to see this health and wellness movement, a gospel message. You know, you just need to name it and claim it, believe and receive. You'll get what you want. It's kind of Joel Osteen, the big smiley face. Just have enough faith and you can have it. And a lot of us want to run really, really far from that. So when we come across these passages that say, ask in my name and you'll receive it, we go, yeah, but that I don't want anything to do with that. That's those people. That's the prosperity gospel people. And as a result, we kind of swing the pendulum the other way, at least in this church. Third reason, we've learned about God's sovereignty like we had in our God series, and that his will cannot be thwarted. And so we don't want to pray something that he might not have planned for. And so as a result, we're like, well, can I actually ask for the specifics if I know God's will is what's going to be done? And so we have all these theological ideas swirling in our minds, and it complicates things. And all of a sudden, we're not sure what to pray. And I think sometimes it holds us back from being willing to pray more often and as often and in the ways with the authentic prayer that God wants from us. And so honestly, I'm right there with you today. You see, I was raised in a charismatic church where it was real simple for me. We were taught, pray whatever you want, that childlike faith, just say it, and maybe God will answer that prayer. He might not. I didn't really know why or why not, but it was just throw them up there and see what sticks. Then for a time in my life, my parents left that church and they went to a health and wealth church where, you know, Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, those were the guys. If you give us the seed money, just give us $1,000 and God wants to return it to you 10, 30, 100-fold. And that was rather terrible for me as a child. But I learned how they pray. They just say, you know what, if you just have enough faith, I want a red BMW. God, I stand on the promise that you will give me my heart's desire. I need a red BMW. And if you just say it over and over every single day and you believe and you never ever doubt, you will get the red BMW. And the problem was, though, I saw prayers when I tried to do this in my life, my parents' life, the pastor's life, that weren't answered. So then I was left with this question. Okay, if the prayers aren't answered and maybe I'm not doing everything right. So maybe it was me, I didn't have the right faith. So then when prayer's not answered, it's my fault. Or I could flip and go, maybe it's just not God's will. And I like that answer. A few years after college, I connected with a Reformed church. And Reformed churches, they're Presbyterian churches, they're called Reformed churches, they tend to have a really high view of God's sovereignty. And where that works out in prayer is they tend to lean very strongly to this, praying God's or for God's will to be done. Don't necessarily ask for the specifics, but just say, God, your will be done in every situation. And honestly, I like that because it made prayer so much easier. 100% of my prayers were answered. God's will was done, right? God, your will be done. I never prayed anything specific, so I was never let down. And honestly, I liked that for a bit. But eventually, I came to a point where I realized that perspective left me feeling like my prayers didn't matter at all. When I pray vague prayers, I'm not asking for anything. I never see anything I'm asking for happen. It felt like, well, this is kind of meaningless, actually. God's going to do what God's going to do, so why bother praying? And that is why I was excited to dig into this message today, for my own sake. Last week, Brent talked about these two extremes of prayer, that God is at our whim, like my health and wellness or health and wealth time in the church, or that God's going to do whatever he wants, like when I was kind of with that Reformed church, okay? And he looked at these two extremes, and he said, neither of those are healthy. So today, I want to talk about what it looks like to actually live in the balance of that, because both views have some scripture on their side. Okay? Some scriptures say pray in God's will, and some scriptures say ask anything and it'll be given to you. And that's why today, as we look at how to live in the balance, we have to look at several Bible stories, several verses. We have to bring it together because take any verse taken out of context can get you to either one of these unhealthy extremes. But we want to learn, what should we be praying about to be in the balance of all these verses, the whole counsel of God on prayer? So let's begin in James chapter 5. If you want to open your Bibles to James chapter 5, that's where we're going to be beginning. Here we read what James, the half-brother of Jesus, had to say about what we should be asking for when we pray. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 of James chapter 5. It's on the screens for you. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So right here, we kind of see two things that we can pray for right off the bat in this. What can we pray for? It begins, is anyone among you in trouble? So we can pray for help for those in trouble. Maybe it's you, maybe it's a friend, maybe a coworker, a family member. We pray for people who are in trouble. So you can pray for your friend who's going through a divorce. That's trouble. Pray for them to get through it. Pray for the reconciliation. You can pray that God helps you find the money to pay your rent. Maybe you have no idea where that money is going to come from. You say, God, I need a miracle. I'm in trouble. You can pray for that. You can even pray when you've lost your keys and you find out it's $250 to replace that key fob because you got a stupid car with remote start. And all of a sudden you're like, this is such an expensive key. Believe me, I know. The problem is I started praying for that key after about 3 or 4 days when I'd searched the entire house 4 times. And I think that that's the problem for many of us. We pray when we're in trouble after we've gone through all the steps of trying to get ourselves out of trouble, right? We're self-reliant first. We see ourselves in trouble. We don't go to prayer first. We go to prayer when we've run to the end of ourselves and we go, okay, I'm spent. I've got no more ideas. I can't think of where to find them. Now I'll turn to prayer. Maybe we should turn to God when we have trouble right away. Second thing we see in this passage is that we can pray for healing for someone who is sick. And I know that this is the number one time that we at Ashworth Road, we do turn to prayer immediately. And I know that because we have a prayer list that goes out every Thursday. And that prayer list is full of people who are sick. All your family members, your friends, all the people in this church, we tend to be more willing to share when we're sick and needing prayer for that than we do when we're in trouble. But this is one thing that we understand. And I'm really glad that we worship a God who cares when we are sick. Because when you are sick, it all of a sudden you completely recognize how great it is to be healthy, and you want nothing more than to be healthy again. And we have a God who cares when you have stubbed your toe and it hurts really bad, when you've rolled your ankle, when you've got cancer. He cares and he wants to heal you. So we should pray for that. This passage is full of how we're supposed to pray for people who are feeling bad. But is that all? Those are the two things that we find clearly in this passage. I want to look at another passage, John 14, verses 13 and 14. It's on the screens. And I will do, this is Jesus saying this, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So when I look at this in the Bible, it really says we can pray for anything. There are no limits. We can pray for the really big things, like our sick family members to be healed, no matter how sick they are. Or we can pray for our finances that are an absolute mess. God cares. And we can also pray for the little things, like finding a parking spot near the door when it's raining. We can pray for anything. God gives us license to do that, and you shouldn't feel guilty about asking God for something. It's like when your kids, they come and they ask you for everything. They don't feel bad like, well, should I ask mom for this or shouldn't I ask mom for this? No, they ask for everything because they're in relationship with you. The more we ask God for, the more it shows we're in relationship with him. We trust him. We care what he thinks and we want him to help. So that's a good thing. According to the Bible, we can ask for any of these things as long as we meet a few prerequisites. And I know prerequisites is kind of a strong word. It's kind of the flip side, though, of barriers to prayer. These are things I find in the Bible that every time it says, ask for anything, you tend to see these verses that say, as long as, It lines up with this. Just like we read in John 14:13, we saw, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will do whatever you ask. He'll do it so that the Father is glorified. The point here is that when we pray, God wants to answer our prayers for His glory and not for our own. Okay? He wants to lavish His love on us and to work through us to lavish His love on the world. And it's when the world experiences God's love that He receives the glory, that His name is made great among the nations. He's seen as the almighty, all-loving, relational Father that He is. That's why He wants to answer our prayers. But if the prayer is all about our own glory, our own status, how we look in other people's eyes, perhaps then that's a barrier to prayer, right? We haven't met the prerequisite. Maybe that's a time where we go, we shouldn't ask that, or God's not going to answer that prayer for us. One of the prerequisites. We can also turn to 1 John 5, verse 14. There we read, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we have to have our requests line up with God's will. And this is the verse that we all base this practice of ending our prayers with, God, if it be your will. Okay? And this is good. It's perfectly acceptable for us to pray and after we lay out our heart and say, God, this is what I want. But God, do whatever is your will in this situation. Okay, that's perfectly good. That's what we want to do. But some of us think, well, you know what? I'm going to instead first pray that God's will be done, and then I don't lay out anything specific. And that's where we get into a little bit of trouble. The cool thing here, though, is sometimes we act like we don't actually know what God's will is, but He's given us His word. And the Bible actually lays out very much what God's will is for our lives. And what we can be praying for that will fall within God's will or what we won't fall within God's will. We know that if we're praying for a marriage to be restored, it is God's will. God's will is that marriages last a lifetime. If we pray that for friends and family to come to faith in Jesus, we know that is God's will. He wants to answer that prayer. Conversely, if we're praying to not get caught in a sin, God, don't let anybody find out, that's not God's will. We know that. Sin always comes to light. We shouldn't be praying for that. And if we are, we shouldn't expect God to answer that prayer. Next verse that shows us a prerequisite is back in James where we already looked. That part that said, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. You see, our faith does matter. Clearly from this verse, we're taught that in our prayers, we need to actually believe that God is willing and able to answer our prayers. This doesn't mean that we have to be people of super faith, like holier than thou, but we do have to believe that the Almighty God has the power to change things. Now, this is not to say that if your prayer is not answered, it's because you didn't have enough faith. In fact, the topic of an unanswered prayer is something I can't get into today. Fortunately, in a couple of weeks, Pastor Brent gets that sermon. It's going to be really easy for him. You know, that's a simple topic, right? So we gave that to him. We'll let him lead the way. But so you'll want to come back and hear that. The last reason, prerequisite that we get, we see first in 1 John 3:21 through 22, where we read, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. Or in James 5:16, like we saw, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If we keep His commands and the prayer of a righteous person, just like our faith matters, our obedience to God does matter. How we live or not live in obedience affects if our prayers will be answered. If you're living in constant sin and God's calling you to change and you're in disobedience, that will hinder your prayer. That will be an obstacle. If you don't meet that prerequisite, it becomes an obstacle that keeps God from answering that prayer. Additionally, if we're disobedient, we're praying for God to bless our sin. We know He's not going to answer that prayer. And I love this beautiful verse that says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We should see this verse as an encouragement that our prayers have the potential to change the world all around us. Our prayers can be powerful and effective as we follow Jesus. Really, all these prerequisites point to our heart and our own view of God. Are we praying prayers that are for God's glory or for our own? Are we praying to accomplish God's desire for heaven to come to this earth? Or are we praying for the heavenly comforts to come to our own home, our own car, our own lives? When our prayers join with God's desire for this earth, we see the kingdom come to earth. We see mercy and justice being done. And we're much more likely to see our prayers being answered as our prayers meet God's plan for this world. And those are really big asks when we're praying for justice and mercy and for God's kingdom to come. It's bigger than we ever think we could imagine or do on our own. We think, well, God, that's great that you're doing that through other people, but I'm just going to live my own life. Luckily for us, the Bible is full of examples of regular Joes praying for God to do incredibly bold things, these incredibly bold requests to see God's kingdom advance. We see that as we continue in James chapter 5, right where we ended, picking up in verse 17. He continued right after talking about praying for those in trouble, praying for those who need healing. He says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And so we look at this, and I love that James starts out by reminding his readers that Elijah was a human being, just like them. He's nothing special. He didn't want them to think God only answers the prayers of great prophets. In fact, when we turn in the Bible to this story of Elijah praying for it to not rain, it's the very first place we see Elijah anywhere in the Bible. It just shows up. Elijah, son of so-and-so, I don't remember, he prayed to God that it wouldn't rain. And you go, wow, that's amazing. Why did he do this? He saw Israel had walked away from God. They're all worshiping the god Baal. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to get their attention. I want God to get their attention. God, keep it from raining for 3.5 years so that we can get their attention and we can get the people of Israel to turn back to you. That's what his plan was. And that's exactly what God did. At that point, just a man, hadn't done anything special. And he prayed, God, I want your kingdom to come on this earth. I want Israel to turn back to you. And he prayed it, and God did it, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Or what about that outrageous prayer of Joshua? If you remember back in the book of Joshua, the Israelites have crossed out of Egypt, and they've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and God told them, I'm giving you the promised land. You need to go in there, but there's all these enemies, all these people in the land that they need to defeat. And at one point, they get into a battle, and it's not going well. And Joshua prays, God, we need more time. God, we need the sun to stand still in the sky until this battle is over. And the sun stood still in the sky for 24 hours. And the Bible says, there's never been another day like it or since. But that's what it took for them to win the battle and to literally see God's kingdom advance towards the promised land. A man like us prayed for the outrageous so that God would be glorified and his people would advance. These two prayers, they're huge. They're beyond what we would ever think of asking God for. And yet these two men, just like us, they asked God and he answered. So you may be asking yourselves, Ryan, what are you telling me I should change about my prayers? First thing we need to change is we need to ask. Just ask. We need to stop complicating it. We need to stop worrying, am I praying the right thing? Should I be praying in God's will, or should I be praying for what I want, or is this selfish, or I can't pray that, or I should pray this, or this isn't big enough. Stop. Stop. Just ask. One of the really cool things the Bible tells us is that we have the Holy Spirit, who's kind of the messenger who takes our prayers to Jesus, okay? And what I love is, I read this in a book on prayer, and it stuck with me. It's going to stick with me the rest of my life. It says, the Holy Spirit's the editor of our prayers. So we need to stop editing, and we need to let the Holy Spirit fix our typos and edit out our selfishness and take this pure prayer to God. And we need to stop worrying about it. all of our worry about are we doing it right is probably tripping us up and keeping us from doing it as often as we should. So let's just ask. God loves us. He's a good father. He wants to give us good things. Maybe we're asking completely selfishly and he knows it's going to ruin us and then he's not going to answer it. But that's okay. Let's trust him. Let's trust the Holy Spirit to edit it, okay? Let's ask for our heart. Secondly, we need to ask specifically. We need to stop praying these vague prayers for God's will to be done, whatever the situation. Because the problem is when we lead with God, your will be done, then we tend to step in the role of editor. And we sit there and we go, well, I can't pray this, I can't pray that. I'll pray for this small thing. I don't know. God, your will be done. God says, no, he wants to know what's in our heart. He wants to know what we need. But more than what we need, he wants to know our desires and our wants. He cares. He loves us. So let's not short-circuit this by just putting out vague prayers so that we're never left disappointed. Pray specifically. God, you know what? I do want a sunny day for the family reunion. I want our family to have this great time together and for it to be a blessing. And so I pray that the weather holds off. That's okay. You know, if that happened, God is glorified and maybe his will is done. And you're being obedient and saying, God, this is my heart's desire. And I'm asking for sun or for the rain to be pushed off. Don't feel bad about that prayer. Thirdly, how should we pray? We need to ask bigger, okay? Too often we ask for the small things because that way we're like, well, I think God could do this. This isn't too supernatural. This isn't too miraculous. God could do this. We're more comfortable asking for God to help us find our keys than we are for God to give us all of our neighbors to become Christians, right? Ah, that small thing, God can do this. All my neighbors to be Christians? I don't know. I can't ask for that. That's too big. Okay? Elijah prayed for no rain for 3.5 years, and he got it. Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still, and he got it. What enormous things has God put on your heart to accomplish for his glory? What big things, bigger than just your family, your immediate day-to-day, what big things have you thought, maybe I could do this? But then you thought, you know what? That's unattainable. That's too big. That'd never happen. That's not for me. Pray for God to do the heavy lifting so that he can be glorified and his kingdom can advance. Now, one caveat I want to put on my message today. I have been telling you, we can ask for anything. But here's the big idea that I really want you to go home with, okay? We have license. We can ask for sunny Saturdays. We can ask for God to help us find our keys. We can ask for all green lights on the way to work. And while we can ask these things, I want us to be thinking bigger, though. We have license to ask for much, much bigger. And we need to do that. We need to ask God to help us find lost people. We need to pray to God to help us find mercy and justice. We need to look at these terrible vices in our world, in our neighborhood, and say, you know what, God? I want you to fix this situation. God, I want poverty out of this community. God, I want this school system where I know there's a lot of trouble or there's a ton of kids on free and reduced lunch. God, I want to see this neighborhood grow and find work and find money. I want help for all the immigrants who have come into Sun Prairie, God. But when we ask that prayer, we also, like Brent said, we have to be willing for when he says, and I want you to give money to this, and I want you to invest your time at the school for this. When we pray big, he may be asking for us, but that's what he wants. He wants our prayers to go big and get in line with his will to bring heaven to earth. Our prayer life is a reflection of our view of God. If we pray only for tiny prayers, we make God small. If we pray enormous prayers that'll change the world, it shows that we see God as a God who's willing and able to change the world. If we ask God for personal requests, we're revealing that we have a relationship with him and we understand he is a good father who cares about us. Yet if we only ask God to do things that make our lives better, easier, more comfortable, happier, we turn God into a magic genie. God wants so much more than to be the magic genie in our lives. He wants our prayers to be the prayers that line up with His, so that we become more like Jesus ourselves, and we see the community around us become more like the kingdom of God that we're looking forward to one day. So will you join with us in enlarging our prayers? Let's pray not for lost keys, but for lost people. Let's pray not only for our own healing, but for the healing of the community all around us. God wants us to be willing to bring any request to Him. But He also wants us to start thinking like Him, to start seeing the big picture of what He can do and what He can change all around us. He wants us to be praying for the kingdom to be advancing and His name to be exalted as our requests allow Him to move through all the people around. We may not be asking for the sun to stand still in the sky for us today, but if that's what it took to see the kingdom of God advance in your family or in your neighborhood, would you be willing to pray that prayer?